Please join me in the prayer for illumination printed in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, verse 28 through chapter 12, verse 8. If you would like to read along, please turn to page 792 in your pew Bible. Come to me, all you are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. When the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." And he said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? How he entered the house of God, and they ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for him or his companions to eat, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and yet are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
It's time to be with the children. So if you're in the sanctuary and you want to come forward, come and join us up here. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens, because this time is for you, the children, and for me. Come on down. Good morning. So glad to see everybody. Here, let me get this out of the way so we'll have a little more room on there. There we go. Come on down. Oh, I'm so glad to see all of you. I hope you've been enjoying this warmer weather we're having. Hope you get lots of popsicles and lemonade. All right. Mr. Rob just read a story for us about Jesus walking through a grain field with his disciples. Jesus was pretty busy. He was walking through Galilee, and he was teaching, and he was preaching, and he was healing people, and he was meeting with people to talk about God and what it looks like to follow God. And he did so many things for so many people. But you know, there's something else that Jesus did really regularly. He would take time by himself, and sometimes he would go up to a mountain, or sometimes he would go away in the middle of the night and find a place where he could go and pray, and he could listen to God. He called God his Father sometimes, and he could be with his Father and listen to God and pray and rest and just be reminded of how much God loved him. And that's what we're called to do too. We follow Jesus, right? And we want to live the kind of life that he wants us to live, the kind of life that he lived. So we're going to do everything we can to help other people and to do good in the world. There are all sorts of ways that you help people already. But we're also going to take time to pray and to rest. So when you go to bed at night, do you say prayers at night? Yeah, a lot of you do. That's a wonderful time to just close your eyes and thank God for the day and spend time with God. Maybe you say a prayer before a meal. You can say a prayer any time of day you want. And Jesus reminds us that we always need to be praying and also doing things for other people. Let's pray together now. Gracious God, we thank you so much for our church, this place we can come to love each other and be loved and to learn about Jesus and to learn about following him. We thank you for the many ways that we can help other people, and we thank you for the gift of being able to pray and talk to you anytime we want to. So help us to be people who do and people who pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, 3-, 4-, 5-year-olds and kindergartners can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Shannon. Okay, have a good time today. And you all, others can go back and sit with parents or friends. Well, as you know by now, I'm getting ready to take 12 weeks of renewal leave. And this is my last Sunday with you for a while. And I've been focusing for the last few months, on getting everything organized and planned. And Will and Shannon and the whole staff have been working together to get the plan so we know who's doing what and who to go to. And it's been wonderful to get that work in place. But now I'm starting to feel the feels. I came in here early this morning to just sort of walk around the sanctuary and get my heart in the right place for worship, and I really started to realize and recognize how much I'm going to miss you all. The time will go fast. It's 12 weeks. I'll be back on December 1st, and our paths will diverge for a while, and then we'll be back December 1st, and it'll be like, it'll just go like that, I know, but I will miss you. And I'm anxious to hear and to know all of the things that God does in and through you in these 12 weeks that we're apart. And I had been thinking about, and we've been walking through, this 3-week sermon series on Sabbath as a time to not only prepare myself for taking this holy time to set down my work and to immerse myself in rest and prayer and the love of God, but also as an opportunity to invite all of us to consider this pattern of life that God has set before us since the beginning of time, and to invite all of us to be finding ways in our own lives and our own routines to work and to rest, to make sure we're carving out time to be with God, and to let God tell us who we are more than our work or the world tells us who we are. So as a little review, in case you haven't been with us the past few weeks, or if this is your first Sunday, a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the first chapter of Genesis, that story of creation, where God takes one day out of 7 and claims it for rest, as a time to enjoy creation, to stop working and stop producing, and sit back and be grateful for what is, to enjoy God and to enjoy one another and creation. Then last week, we heard a story about a time in the history of the Hebrew people when they were not allowed to practice Sabbath, when they were enslaved in Egypt and the Pharaoh made them work and work and work and work and never gave them rest and only saw them as workers. And we considered together what those voices of Pharaoh look like in our day, those internal voices or those external voices and systems that try to tell us we cannot stop, that we are only worth what we do and what we accomplish. And so we looked at the Sabbath practice as a way of resisting those voices that are not of God. And so this morning, I want to turn to Jesus. I want us to turn the page and enter into the New Testament and consider what Jesus has to show us and to teach us about Sabbath. I don't know about you, but over these past few years, with all that we've been through and all the tumult around us for all the different reasons, I have found myself more and more drawn to the person of Jesus and looking to him again and again for comfort and rest and guidance. And he's the one who shows us the way of life. So what does Jesus have to say about Sabbath? What does he do with the Sabbath? Well, how to honor the Sabbath was one of those things that was talked about a lot among Jewish leaders and teachers and Jewish people in the first century. The Torah, the fourth commandment, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, says, you know, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You shall do no work on the Sabbath day. And there are other places in the Hebrew Scriptures that flesh that out a little bit, but not a whole lot. And so there was a lot of conversation in first century Judaism about, well, what is work and what isn't? What can and can't we do on the Sabbath day? And so I want to be clear that in that conversation, there would have been some Pharisees and some rabbis who were more like Jesus in their approach to the Sabbath. But in this episode in Matthew's gospel, and in many stories of the gospels, we're seeing those who took the hard-nosed approach, who were more legalistic about it, who were more focused on a checklist of do's and don'ts, rules, legalism. And that's who we're seeing in this text. But I don't want us to see these Pharisees and assume that's how all the Pharisees were, or how all the Jewish leaders were. So what's happening in this story? Jesus and his disciples have been traveling through Galilee, doing ministry. They're walking through a field of grain. It's the Sabbath day, and the disciples are hungry. Their bellies are empty. And so they take a few grains from the field and begin to eat them. Now, these Pharisees in the story see that, and that is a violation of the rules, because in their minds, that is work. You're not supposed to harvest anything on the Sabbath day. And so they confront Jesus with that and say, don't you see your disciples have broken the Sabbath law? And Jesus, in his brilliance and grace, responds to them from their shared tradition, from their own scriptures, from their own stories. And he reminds them of this story that takes place in 1 Samuel when David, before he became King David, he, of course, was the greatest hero in Israel's history. They all would have agreed on that. When David broke the rules, he went into a house of worship, and he asked the priest, by telling him sort of a not really true thing, that he and his soldiers needed to eat the bread that was on the altar, that was the bread of the presence. The presence of the Lord in this house of worship. Only the priest could eat that bread. And it was only done once a week. Those were the rules. But David and his soldiers ate that bread. They broke the rule. And if King David could break the rule, Jesus, who is the Son of God, is greater than David. But these Pharisees don't see that. And he tries to say, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. This reminder of what he says in other places, that the Sabbath was not made for humankind to live up to this checklist of do's and don'ts. The Sabbath was made as a gift to humankind. It is for our flourishing, our life, our well-being, our wholeness, our relationship with God and with one another. But you have turned it into a burden, a checklist, a heavy load that nobody can live up to. Now, the story goes on. We didn't include this in the worship service, but I want to tack it on this morning because Jesus then goes from the field of grain into the synagogue. And there's a man with a withered hand. Now, we actually heard this story in Mark's gospel earlier this summer, and the Pharisees set Jesus up right away. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath day? They're trying to trick him. They want to trap him because in their minds, it's not okay to do that work on the Sabbath day. Now, to be sure, these Pharisees and Jesus and all of them would agree if someone's life was in danger, yes, you absolutely do what you have to do to save a life. But a withered hand is not a life-threatening injury. You can wait till the sun goes down on the Sabbath to help this man. And they want to see what Jesus does. And Jesus says to them, if you had a sheep that fell into a pit on the Sabbath day, would you not rescue it? Would you leave that sheep alone in fear and anxiety all night long just because it was the Sabbath day? And yet here is a human being. And Jesus refuses to make that man wait and endure that indignity of standing around in his pain waiting for the sun to go down on the Sabbath day. No, in broad daylight on the Sabbath day in the middle of the synagogue, Jesus reaches out and gives the man new life and healing. What is the difference between these Pharisees and Jesus? It seems that Jesus is claiming that life with God is not about following a set of rules. It's not about bearing a heavy burden of boxes to be checked that we have to live just right this way for God to believe we're worthy. It's a heavy burden that no one can bear. No, Jesus seems to be saying, life with God is about flourishing and grace, about relationship. And he is offering himself as the one through whom that relationship can be lived and experienced. And so I wonder, do we still hear the voices of those Pharisees in our lives today? I know I do. They're in my head all the time. And I think they're in our faith culture as well. An example from my own life. About 10 years ago, it was the season of Lent, and as many of you know, many of you do, during the season of Lent leading up to Easter, there's a practice to give up something or to take on a spiritual discipline as a way of preparing for the story of Jesus' death and resurrection. You give up chocolate or you give up soda or you take on an extra prayer practice or whatever it might be. So 10 years ago, I decided I'm going to fast on Wednesdays. This was the early Methodists did this. John Wesley did it. Therefore, I must do it. And so I tried it, and it was terrible. The first couple of Wednesdays, I was so cranky and irritable and hangry by early afternoon that I was not myself. And we had this staff meeting one Wednesday afternoon, and I was just about to go running and screaming out in the street. And I didn't lead well. So the next week, by chance, I had an appointment with my spiritual director, and I was telling him about that experience, and he leaned forward and said, you know, Carol, maybe fasting isn't the spiritual discipline for you. I mean, I do have low blood pressure, and I can get sort of fainty. And he just sort of gave me permission. God is not disappointed in you if you lay this one down. There are other things you can do to make space and give attention to God's work in your life during Lent besides making yourself and everybody else miserable because you're trying to fast. Because that's what the early Methodists did. And what would John Wesley say? To let go of that rule book, that check, that box to check, that heavy load and burden. I've seen this lived out in much more painful ways in other people's lives. I'll never forget that day when she came into my office. She'd been worshiping at the church I was serving for a little while. And she'd really found a community of belonging, and her faith was growing, and she was even thinking about going to divinity school at Vanderbilt, but she had this heavy load of baggage she was still carrying that she could not put down, and she needed to talk about it. She'd been through a divorce a few years earlier. And at the time, she and her family were part of a congregation that did not look kindly or with compassion on people who are divorced. And in fact, when she shared that that's the path she was taking, that her husband was abusive emotionally and physically, and that she was scared for her own safety and for that of her children. She was told she had to appear before a board of elders in the church, all of them men, and justify herself and get their approval. And they didn't give it to her. And it was a traumatic and painful experience, and she still had that wound that continued to hurt. And she wanted to lay it down. She knew in her head that God was a God of grace, that there was forgiveness and healing and renewal. And yet she still had this fear within her that maybe somehow God is disappointed in me and I've sinned in a way that is unforgivable. And so we did some of that work together. And she continued to do that work with people more qualified than I. But to remember that God is a God of life and human flourishing and grace. And this is the path that Jesus seems to be offering us in this text today. It's not black and white. It is a relationship. It doesn't mean that following Jesus is easy. And it doesn't mean that anything goes. It does mean that we are led in life by a relationship with Jesus Christ, who shows us the way. And the incredible twist in this text, this beautiful moment that I almost skipped over, came right at the beginning. When Jesus is not only showing how to keep the Sabbath, he is telling us that he, in fact, is the Sabbath. He is the embodiment of God's rest. Come to me, he says. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying these heavy burdens of not being good enough, not doing enough, not being worthy, not living up to God's expectations, all these things that we and others lay upon us. Come to me. And lay it down, Jesus says. And I will give you rest. And you will find rest for your souls. Learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So, my friends, the invitation that I'm feeling right now in my life is to go and walk with Jesus in a more attentive and open way than I have in a long time. And the invitation is for you to walk with Jesus, to talk with Jesus, to find your rest in him. And for a while, our paths will diverge, but then they'll come back together on December 1st. And I can't wait to hear what you've learned from him. And I can't wait to tell you and show you what I have learned. And I can't wait to see where our shared journey takes us as we continue to follow in his footsteps.